back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Let's welcome in Barry Church, Cowboy safety from 2010 to 2016. You can hear him on the Players Lounge podcast, and he also is a co-host of the Cowboys pregame live show. How you doing, Barry? What's going on, man?
Man, I'm doing amazing, man. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. Let me just share with you that my partner, Daryl the Guru Johnson, is a big Cowboys fan. He's wearing a CD Lamb jersey right
now. What's up, Barry?
And he has spent the first hour and 45 minutes saying that the Dallas Cowboys are in shambles. Yes or no? Yeah.
Barry, let me,
Yeah.
My father's from East Texas, Bullard, Texas, right? I'm born and raised in the Bay. I got love for the Niners, but it's Dallas on mine, and I'm mad at everybody. I'm mad at Jerry. I'm mad at guys doing podcasts and not backing it up. I'm mad that the Saints score on eight play, and the Niners beat them. Barry, where is this thing going, and whose fault is it?
Look, I mean, it's okay to be frustrated. We all understand that things have not been going the way that, you know, we all predicted them to go, especially after last year's performances out there. But if you look at it, I mean, look, this team is still 3-3, all right? They've still got all the goals ahead of them, all right? The people in front of them in this division, the Philadelphia Eagles, who, you know, who knows what's going on with them week to week. And then you got Washington, who's playing well, but they're led by a rookie quarterback. So let's see what he can do throughout the whole 17-game stretch. So, look, everything's still ahead for the Cowboys. It's a little frustrating right now. Defenses can't really stop anything right now. The offense, the connection between Dak and CeeDee Lamb just isn't what it was last year. But they still got an opportunity to get things done, and I think it'll start this weekend in Santa Clara. Mm.
Barry Church joining us on 95.7 The Game. You know, the 49ers aren't in better shape right now than the Cowboys, at least record-wise. When you look at the 49ers, everybody out here is like, you know, when the offense plays well enough, then the defense slips. When the defense is playing well, the offense isn't there. Special teams has hurt them over the course of a season. What's been the Cowboys' issue? Is it an overarching thing like that, or all phases of the game, or is it one thing in particular?
To me, it's two phases of the game, and they're the most important phases. All right, when you look at the defensive side of the football, the same issues that's been hurting this team for the past 3 years seems to rear its ugly head once again, and that's stopping the run. I mean, they can't stop a cold when it comes to the running game right now. Everybody's running the football on them. I believe they're dead last, 32nd in the National Football League in stopping the run. So defensively, you know, you got problems there. But offensively, which I thought would be the strength of this team heading into this season, you got issues. And to me, there's two big glaring issues when you look at this team offensively. One is the third down. All right, they're one of the worst teams' third down percentage, which we all consider the money down. And to keep this defense, you know, healthy and off the field and rested, you got to be able to capitalize on these third downs and move the chains and keep this defense off of the football field. And secondly, and more importantly, they're terrible in the red zone right now. Offensively, they're 30th in the National Football League in red zone scoring. Like, I understand you got a hell of a kicker in Aubrey, and he's a great weapon. But last time I checked, when you get to the red zone, 7 counts more than 3. So you got to be able to put the ball in the end zone, and that's just something the Dallas Cowboys offensively have been struggling with this year.
Hey, Barry, we were having an interesting conversation about Brock Purdy, who's gotten off to a great start, but no McCaffrey. The Niners have been struggling in the red zone. We'd like to play you some sound, and then I got a question for you on the other side. Go ahead, Stoney.
Yeah, this has to do with whether Brock Purdy audibles or not.
Usually we just have an answer built into the play, and so if we do have like an all-out blitz or something, we usually have an answer of where I should be hitting or where I should be going, and there's very rare occasions where we walk up to the line and we get a look and it's, oh shoot, they got us, and then I'm supposed to randomly make up an audible. There's nothing like that. We usually always have an answer for pressures, all-out blitz, and things like that, so that's on me to get to the right guy.
Now, Barry, you were a badass safety. Our question is, as a defender, do you know when a quarterback is not able to utilize that option? And does that make an offense easier to guard?
Oh, hell yeah, it makes that offense, you know, easier to guard. I mean, wow. If we're going out there and we know for a fact if we give this guy an all-out blitz look, like we're giving him zero coverage, and he's going to throw the football to either of these two people, then, I mean, then you got the answer pre-snap. It makes it so much easier to predict where they're going with the football. I mean, if that's the case where, okay, if they're showing an all-out look, we're going to this particular play, and you look at the film and you see, all right, in that particular play, when you give them that zero blitz, he likes to go to Debo on this, or he likes to go to Kittle on this each and every time, then that's all we're going to do. We're going to show you all-out blitz. Let Purdy go ahead and audible to it. And then we're going to go to the person he loves to throw the football to most. And if that's covered up, then he gets to scrambling out there, and we've already won the down. So it makes it a lot easier to predict when you know, your quarterback doesn't have the ability to go up there and say, all right, all-out blitz, let me check to this one instead of this one. When you already got the answer there, it makes it a lot easier defensively to guard these guys.
Barry, why would a coach not allow his quarterback, for whatever reason, to audible?
Mm.
I mean, you got me on that one. It could be trust. You know, it could be maybe, you know, this guy, he's thinking maybe he doesn't have the, you know, the qualities to go out there and check into his own play. So let me go ahead and take it out of his hands and put it in my hands. I mean, we've seen that time and time again with young quarterbacks. But Brock Purdy, to me, you know, he has that ability to go out there. He's shown that ability when he has a full, healthy roster to go out there and pick defenses apart. I'm not quite sure why, to me, they wouldn't trust him in those type of situations. But that's what I'm reading from that clip you just showed me.
Very good stuff. Now, I don't know if you know the availability of Michael Parsons. I don't think he's going to play along with DeMarcus Lawrence, but the reality is the Niners have been the Cowboys' big brother. I don't expect anything different, but what would it mean if somehow Dallas, off a bye, could come in here in front of the world and win on Sunday night and be 4-3 and getting that victory against a team that's owned them?
I mean, it would mean everything confidence-wise to this team and to this locker room. I mean, if you're going to beat the San Francisco 49ers, this is the time to do it. Like you just said, they're down plenty of players out there. And if you can't beat the 49ers with this roster, when they're down like this, then when are you going to beat them? I mean, they've been punking the Dallas Cowboys for a while now when you talk about these last couple matchups with the 49ers. So, to me, this is an opportunity you got to take advantage of. I know we have some injuries on our defensive side of the football, but the offense the side of the football, they're healthy. I mean, you got, you know, what the highest paid player in the National Football League and Dak Prescott at the quarterback. You got CeeDee Lamb, one of the top three wide receivers in the National Football League. You got to get this thing done. It won't eliminate you mathematically if you lose, but I'm talking about confidence and just the morale in that locker room. If you lose this game, it's going to be a devastating blow. So they have to get it done this weekend.
Former Cowboys safety Barry Church joining us on 95.7 The Game. You played safety, obviously, and we're going to come into this game. No Brandon Ayuk. Doesn't look like Juwan Jennings is going to play. Debo Samuel coming off pneumonia. As a player who played in the defensive secondary, how do you approach a game like this when you know the other team doesn't have their number one weapons? Do you lick your chops?
Well, you still gotta respect those guys, even though they're not have their superstars out there. You can't take anybody for granted. I mean, I've seen a guy like Victor Cruz come in there, and where everybody just thought, "Oh, this is an undrafted guy," and he goes and puts 150 on us. So I've seen it happen before. So you gotta respect everybody out there. But like I said, with this defense, with those guys missing out there, you gotta take advantage of it, man. You gotta keep Purdy in the pocket. If he's able to scramble around at the time, then who knows what can happen? Kittle can squeak out there. You got Juszczyk that can squeak out there. So you got to keep Kittle in the pocket and force him to beat you from there. I mean, we've seen that's what Kansas City was able to do last week. They kept him in the pocket, and look what happened. Purdy throws three interceptions out there. So you got to put it all on Purdy's arm, because if Mason's able to go out there and he's able to wreck this game plan and able to run the football and they're a balanced offense, then that's when the Dallas Cowboys defense is going to struggle. But if they're able to put it all on Brock Purdy's shoulders and his arm to have to beat them, then I think they have the advantage in this game if that's the case.
Barry, we do a show 4 hours a day, 20 hours a week, and, you know, I'll criticize Kyle Shanahan for not winning the Super Bowl. Two games, I think they outplayed Kansas City, but that's for another day. But when they're healthy, and a former player like yourself, and you look at his scheme and what he's able to design, I think that's what gets me mad at McCarthy, because I feel like that offense is, you know, no motion, just archaic. But talk to us about Kyle's scheme and how, what do you see and how great he is in regard to his play calling?
Man, when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, he's one of the hardest coaches to defend defensively. I mean, because he runs he runs a lot of different looks, but they're like the same run. When you talk about a power scheme, we're thinking, okay, this guard is going to pull over and lead the running back through. Well, he might have the center pull. He might have the opposite tackle pull, but it's the same play, just different variations of it. And to me, this comes down to a rules game. You gotta be able to be on your keys when you're playing a guy like Shanahan. Like my old coach used to say, you see a little, you see a lot, you see a lot, you see a little. They're going to be playing with your eyes out there defensively, so the front seven for the Dallas Cowboys has got to be on their keys. There can't be a lot of hero ball going on, and what I mean by that is you can't have one guy trying to do his own thing and make every play out there, because that's how the defense is going to get exposed out there. You got to play as a unit. You got to stay in your gaps, because Kyle Shanahan, I mean, he's a magician when it comes to dialing up these runs and these play actions, and that's why I think you got to take away the running game for the 49ers, because if they were able to do both and have a balanced attack, you don't know which way he's going to hit you from. So he's a master at that, but this team, that they've got to shut down the run in order to have a chance in this game.
Barry, the 49ers have been without Christian McCaffrey all year, and Jordan Mason has stepped in, and he's the second leading rusher right now in the NFL, but you can just tell the 49ers offense isn't quite the same. Even though Mason's gobbling up yards in the, you know, on the ground, what's the difference between playing a 49er team with McCaffrey in the backfield as opposed to somebody like Mason?
Well, McCaffrey just brought a different element to it when you talk about the passing game. I mean, he was a hell of a runner out of the backfield, but when you talk about the screen game, when you talk about getting one-on-ones with linebackers and being able to expose them in the route tree, I mean, that's what he brought to the table. I mean, this guy was the total package, three-down back out there. Mason's good. I mean, he's a good back, and he's showing promise in his young career so far, but McCaffrey was just at a whole different level. I mean, they could spread you out. You could put McCaffrey in the slot. You can put him outside at receiver and get him matched up against linebackers and safeties, and he would be a mismatch nightmare out there. That's what he brings to the table. It's just different variations in what he can do. Like, you can stay in 12 personnel with Kyle Shanahan's offense and just make it open and split everybody out, because you got McCaffrey that can go out there and run routes. You got a Juszczyk that can run routes. You got Kittle that can go out there and run routes. So, to me, he just brought a different dynamic to the offense. And Mason, he's doing a heck of a job back there, but McCaffrey, like I said, he's just a different level and a different beast and a different mismatch nightmare.
Wow, good stuff. Barry, my partner mentioned the Niners being at 3-4 and the litany of injuries. Do you expect them to make a run, though?
As of right now, if I'm looking at it right now, if they don't get healthy soon, I think it's going to be tough. I mean, the NFC West right now is wide open, but I mean, it's going to be tough without having the Avengers there that they usually have in there. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be all on Purdy's shoulders, and I'm not so sure he can get the job done all by himself, even though he's been playing pretty well this season. So if you ask me now, I'm not sure they can make that run, but we'll see what happens when these guys get healthy once again.
Barry, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Good stuff,
and enjoy the game Sunday, man.
Will do. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. That's Barry Church, former Dallas Cowboys safety.
Number 42.
And good stuff. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
What if I told you his last thing has been the staple of what I've been trying to put together? Stein, he is right. Can the Niners make a run? Hell yes, right? But what if I told you, Stein, it's not about audibles, it's about health. And I know Lynch has talked about the expect guys back or the Avengers, but we know who's not coming back, and that's Brandon Ayuk. But Stein, the longer and the more this season the can goes down the road without certain guys, that's when I'm like, you know what? It might just not be your year, and the biggest component to that is health. No excuses, but that's where I'm at, Matt.
Yeah, I don't view it like that. Like, I wouldn't concede in week 7, it's not our year. You got to beat the Cowboys. You go into the bye. Maybe you get some people healthy. But I don't think that's a predetermined outcome. Like, you can't think like that. You got to think of it as, okay, well, we got more adversity this year than we've ever had before, so it's going to take more of an effort to overcome that adversity rather than, I just feel like you start, and I'm talking about a player here mostly. If a fan thinks that, that's fine. But I don't think a player can get caught in thinking, boy, I just don't think it's going to be our year. Then I think you're done. Mm-hmm. That's just me. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you waiting. Let's get to Pat in Foster City. He wants to jump in on the Audible conversation, which we did ask Barry Church about, and
man,
he didn't quite know the answer either. Hey, Pat, how you doing?
Hey, good. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, sure. I guess real quick, I definitely agree with Goose about the offensive line. You know, I think that's been an issue for a long time, and the running back situation. You know, you see where the running back gets nailed. He gets nailed like a yard or two behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah. So
especially in the red zone.
Gain yards when that happens, you know, it's too much penetration through the line up close to the goal line, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't blame that on the running back. Yeah, I think that's awesome offensive line. But anyway, that's my take on it. But I do think that, you know, when it comes to audibles, when it comes to blitzes, you know, we're talking about having an automatic kind of go-to solution if this happens. And I'm sure that that's the case, but you have to realize that the defense also is calling plays. And when they're calling a blitz, you can bet they're going to be covering short passes to the back out of the backfield or little swing passes. I mean, that's part of the blitz package. You're not going to, you know, blitz guys and then just let's defend the 40-yard pass because the quarterback's not going to have time to get that ball off anyway. So it kind of goes both ways. So it's not like just because you got a bailout on a blitz means it's going to be successful.
Right.
I mean, you got two sides of the football field out there, right?
Absolutely.
So anyway, I think it's, you know, it sounds good to have an automatic solution out there, but, you know, it can definitely get covered. And just like the last speaker that you had online, or talking on the phone with, you know, McCaffrey was, he just can pretty much kind of beat those guys covering it. You know, they jam him, and he's so quick and so strong and so good, he can beat that coverage, but most running backs can't. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's my
give
take
us a score this Sunday.
Go Niners this weekend.
Yeah, give us a score. Now why you laugh?
Doink.
Yeah, you gotta.
That's like a. Can you give me that sound again?
That I did.
That's when someone hangs up.
Yeah, oh, shoot. Okay. You know what?
I'll just call Dick for meal.
Well, see, we didn't hear that from Dick. We didn't hear that from
here's
Dick.
What I'd
Dick
like to do. Here's what I'd like to do. One time is I pretend I'm a play-by-play guy and say, Jake Moody from 44 yards, snap is good, the kick is up, and. Doink. Sounds like a, you know, sound a ball makes when it hits a goalpost.
Well, you have experience.
This is the official 95-7 the game knockout round. Guru at the foul line.
So, Stoney, I don't know if you know Keith, Mr. Jennings. He
remember, you only have 10 seconds to shoot the free throw.
Be quiet, Stoney. Here we go.
All right, Guru's shot is up. It misses.
You got to get it, Guru.
It misses, and the other guy has made it. And Guru is eliminated. Down the Guru Johnson has been eliminated. He's been eliminated.
I lost. I'm out.
Tim Nance. I mean, watch out, dude. That just put you in a good mood.
It was just the proper amount of enthusiasm by me, but not rub it in type of thing, but it was a surprising moment, and I thought I captured the moment well.
Ali goes down. I think you said Guru's been eliminated more than Ali goes down.
Call it like you see it.
Man, he did, Shannon. But what about Barry saying, hell yeah, it's easier for a defense to study that? Maybe we're watching some of that.
I don't know what to make of that. Let me bring Evan in on that one, the whole audible situation. And no, he's not listening. That's all right.
Well, I mean, that was a former pro safety.
I would rather throw that out to 49er fans at 888-957-9570 because I don't know what to make of it. I'm just going to throw questions out here because I don't know. Do we know that no quarterback has ever called an audible under Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco? I don't know.
I believe if we're talking about Mullins or Beathard, I don't believe they had that at their disposal.
All right.
It would make no sense why Kyle would go away from it. But, Stoney, I hope, and the people listening, I'm not saying just because he is not able to audible that if he were, the play would go for 50 yards. No. What Barry said is it's what's on the defender's mind pre-snap, and that's why Debo, when he's ready and on, it's incredible because he can stress you out just with him getting the ball, the screens, all that. But Stoney, I think maybe with no McCaffrey, we're starting to see teams exhale a little, and now the fact that Brock's not able to audible, they become easier to guard, and why the Cardinals were able to come to San Francisco and win a game. Why the Rams, with a list of injuries, were able to kind of keep them at bay, and maybe why the red zone numbers are down.
Well,
just a thought.
There's good news.
Uh-oh.
Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer, great quarterback. The Cowboys are in town.
I don't think they're very good right now. I don't think there's anything that they do really well. You know, and that becomes a huge part of it, is that not every team can do everything. But if you want to compete in this league, you better be really good at something if that's the case. And Dallas isn't really good at anything.
What? Hey, good, we'll boy. Be at the old ship, Kurt. If you're in town, come by, buddy. 2:30, I got you. I mean, that is it right there.
Cool.
Steiner,
how
this
do you
is
rationalize
bad.
The fact that all you've done is tear down your Cowboys, and they have a better record than the San Francisco 49ers.
All right. But see, this is why I know you're smart. I don't tell you are and get your flowers at sometimes. Sure. Not perfect. But you're smart, Steiny.
Yep.
They're the beneficiary of a schedule of three sorry ass teams that they beat. The Jets.
49ers.
Okay. The Steelers. No, I'm talking about the Cowboys. They beat the Jets.
So did the Niners.
The Steelers. And we saw Justin Fields. I think that game was the one that let the Steelers know we need a better passer in here. My point being is if you look at what Dallas has done against good teams, Stoney, they've not lost. They've got embarrassed.
And how have the Niners done this year? They've hung in games against lesser opponents.
But this is when I go to, what have you, Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately?
Well,
the benefit
Chiefs,
of the doubt.
The Chiefs beat the Niners.
But the Niners
and the Cowboys did not play.
Okay.
So they've been on a bye week.
Right. Okay.
And you must allow for the fact that maybe they'll be
but
able to figure
this?
Some things out.
Let me enter this to the defense. Stoney, they're missing Steph Curry. For the Niners, like that, I can't come in here and be fake and tell you that's the end all to be all, but Dallas doesn't have that excuse. Now they're missing some guys, but Micah played, Lawrence played when Baltimore embarrassed you. Did you watch the Detroit game at Dallas? They were throwing to their
hanging
own
in
linemen.
There in the third quarter, right?
No, Stoney was embarrassing. There will be a new coach in Texas next year.
I just don't like when a team gets blown out in the NFL and then you think they're going to stink for the rest of the year.
But this
what happens a lot in the NFL is a team plays a bad game like the Cardinals did the week before the 49ers, and then the 49ers saw a completely different Cardinals team.
Hey, I cannot, but look at me.
No.
You are my radio wife. What about 27-0 in a playoff game?
What are you
talking
about?
Last year when you were the number 2 seed.
I don't know what
the Packers came to Dallas and were up 27-0.
And they almost came in and beat the Niners.
No, forget all that. It was 27-0.
What the Packers have the Niners on?
So don't act like I'm reacting or I'm a prisoner of the moment.
You are.
I've been doing this and telling you this for 2.5 years, and you won't listen.
The Packers had the 49ers down.
I'm not talking about that.
What are
I'm
you talking about?
27-0 last
about, is
year.
Is that what the final was?
No, it was 27-0 at half.
Well, what was the final?
I just want to fight you right now. Just tell me, good.
Evan,
I
you know the final of that Cowboys game? I'll bet you they didn't get shut out.
Shut up! Yeah, dude. Come on, Matt.
No!
Sometimes I just need you to be there for me, man. I just need a shoulder, man. You're incapable of doing that.
I am. I have very little compassion. You're right. You're absolutely positively right.
At least you do.
All right, 888-957-9570. Guru's gotten to the bottom of it.
No,
Shanahan, you can't audible under Shanahan. How can you win?
Don't put this all on.
Nah,
I can see Willard and Dibbs coming in here. Guru's got a theory.
I can't wait till Willard comes in and goes, well, I've done the research.
Right.
And actually,
there is
he's
no
been
research.
Audibling a lot. We just haven't noticed it.
And it's the O-line protection more so than anything else, man.
All right. Yep. Coming up in 5 minutes, we got another Cowboy. We'll ask him also about, oh boy, Audible Gate on 95.7 The Game. Hey, download the free Odyssey app and check us out on YouTube and Twitch. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
There's going to be a penalty on George Teague because he's going to clock him. Now Teague's going to be kicked out of the game.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Joining us right now, Cowboys safety from 98 to 2001, George Teague, and of course, that's when he clocked Terrell Owens on the Dallas Star. You don't really hate the 49ers, do you, George?
Excuse me? Hello? I can't. Hey, man, there's some, I think with the history of this game, and I know it hasn't been the same that it maybe it was in the 90s and all that, but there's definitely still a bit of rivalry between two teams. It's kind of, came back the past couple of years, so... To answer your question, yeah, I'm not a 49ers fan, and I talk plenty of trash to all of my 49er buddies all the time.
Let me ask you this: Cowboys obviously 3-3, and the 49ers have their own problems. But as somebody who watches the Cowboys all the time, how confident are you that they can turn it around?
No, I'm not, and I'll try to be fair. I'll try to be fair about it too. I do love the Cowboys, but I can. Not be the homer at the same time because we got a lot of struggles. We can't run the ball.
Wow.
We didn't make the right amount of moves, I feel like, personally, to put ourselves in a better position to, who would have been able to catch the 49ers if, when they're full strength or other teams like Detroit and things of that nature. So, we're banged up. We're hurt. I know the 49ers are too. But it just seemed like we didn't do enough to have ourselves in position so that when you do have some key injuries that you could have some plug-and-play guys that could, keep you in games until you're at full strength.
Man, George, it's a pleasure to have you on. My daddy's from East Texas. I live a hard life. I do radio out here in the Bay, so I got the 88 white cowboy jersey on, and they coming for me. But for you to say what you just said, I appreciate that all honesty, but I got to take you back to that day you hit T.O. Has that day changed your life, George? Because when I hear George Teague, I think of that play like you put it all on the line and respected the Star. Talk to us about that, man, and the love you got, I'm sure after that.
Yeah, man, it did change my life, and I'll tell you, that was in 2000, and as of today, before I was speaking to you, I was at lunch, and then this gentleman that walks up to me while I'm eating my fried chicken, like, hey, aren't you the guy that hit Terrell Owens off the Star? So, I pretty much talk about it all week, all the time while I'm out here. So it had positive effects. And as a matter of fact, I'll give you one more piece because I'm an athletic director at a high school here in Texas called John Paul II High School. I actually had to retell the story to these guys. They know it, but they weren't born yet. So I was kind of giving them examples of character, and what happens when, you're heated that I could understand when you, need to lash out a little bit or when people are disrespecting your field in this thing. So it's helped in a lot of ways, positively, where I could tell this story about it as well. The last thing I need to tell you about it, since you guys are bringing it up, I do have a GoFundMe page, and I'm trying to get my fine money back from it, too. So if y'all want to donate $5 to $10.
What was the fine? How much?
$24,999.
Hey, we're joined by...
You asked if it changed my life. Yeah, it did.
We're joined by George Teague, former Cowboys safety. From afar, what do you think's going on with the San Francisco 49ers right now? people are saying Super Bowl hangover. If that's the case, what is it? But what do you see with this team that hasn't quite reached its potential just yet?
There's a bunch of people that have voodoo dolls, and we're just kind of checking them at you guys out there in the West. But you know, it's tough when you you know, trying to sustain the level of play that they've had over the past couple of years and not getting there, because inevitably something's going to break and people will start to figure you out a little bit. So when you add that to injuries like this, and you know, and how do you control a Bosa or something, it just gives more stuff on tape and more film that makes it more difficult for you to get over that last little up. So, you know, you start getting a beat on Brock Purdy, and, you know, you see his game has changed a little bit. It, you know, do you talk about personnel with that or not? I don't know, but I just know that in when I was playing and when you watch, and I get to watch a lot of film, right? So you just see where people can pick up tendencies and they try to fool you into doing things that, you know, make you not play as well.
Man, George, I got to tell you, man, I really appreciate your honesty about you thinking the, you know, the, this current edition of the Cowboys can't turn it around, and I'm down too, but I don't know what I'm more disgusted at, and that might be strong, but you helped me out. A quarterback for 8 years that just got paid twice, Dak, and they hadn't even got to a championship game, or a coach in McCarthy whose offense looks archaic and doesn't look like the offenses that are successful right now in the NFL. What do you say to that, to Cowboy fans that come at you? Which one are you more concerned with?
Bro, okay. And, and from a player standpoint, you know, you don't want to talk about people's money and what they got, and you're supposed to be happy for them, and I am. But with that comes expectations. And you're the highest quarterback in the league, and you got a wide receiver who's got the biggest money ever. You know what? You expect them to perform at a different level that you need to have. You can't really make a whole lot of excuses, regardless of what's around you, because those guys are out there. So when you put that in conjunction with McCarthy and some, you know, yeah, he's been on the hot seat for a little bit, but you got to design some stuff so them two guys shine, you know. He can complain maybe about the running backs that the GM didn't get him and all this kind of stuff. It don't matter. Those guys are there. We got to figure out how this guy looked like. How come CD can't ever get wide open like everybody else? I see Justin Jefferson running around all over the place, Cooper Kupp making these uncontested catches, Debo and all the rest of the guys out there. And we can't – I mean, CD's catching jack routes only for 2 yards and chasing them. So it doesn't make sense to me as an analyst too, right, and as a fan. So I think all of them have some work to do. And it needs to start showing up to this Sunday night, matter of fact, in my opinion.
George Teague joining us on 95.7 The Game, former Cowboys safety. George, one of the things with the Niners is their offense has been sputtering, especially in the red zone. And Brock Purdy was asked yesterday about whether or not he audibles at the line or he's allowed to audible at the line and change of play. And I want to play for you what his response was and then ask you about it. So I'm going to ask you to take a listen to this. It's not very long.
Usually we just have an answer built into the play. And so if we do have like an all-out blitz or something, we usually have an answer of where I should be hitting or where I should be going. And there's very rare occasions where we walk up to the line and we get a look and it's, oh shoot, they got us, and then I'm supposed to randomly make up an audible. There's nothing like that. We usually always have an answer for pressures, all out blitz and things like that, so that's on me to get to the right guy.
Does that resonate with you at all, the way they maybe go about running their offense? Is it different than other teams?
Okay, it does resonate with me. I'll try my best to try to explain it, and I've heard other coaches speak on it. Everybody heard McCarthy speak on it about built-in things for Dak in the offense. So in today's age, Whether think of it kind of like the RPO where you kind of got three things built into one play. Do you run it? Do you pass it to the quarterback? Keep it. So if I can keep it on that simple kind of scale, that typically, depending on what happens with your, what kind of defensive look you see, will determine what you need to run. Okay. But everybody has to be on the same page because it could make your wide receiver run a different route. And if everybody's not on the same page, then it doesn't look so good. You know, even though you might be saying something, some number, shooting out something, saying, hey, we got to do something different because of the way it looks. It happens on defense, too, right? So sometimes on defense, you may call a base defense, but if they come out in a different formation, it doesn't. You may have a verbal check, or you could just know that now that safety who was supposed to blitz, it automatically converts over to someone else. It's not. It's built in that way. So when I hear built in, I got my air quotes up a little bit. There's still, it's a check, okay? But it doesn't mean the quarterback has to change the whole play. You got to be really good at identifying what's happening across from you offensively or defensively so that you can be the most effective play that it can be.
Good stuff.
So always be right, basically. You should always be right.
Wow. Hey, George, let me ask you this, because you play defense. When you look at this Niner defense, and the Niners and Cowboys have played big-time games in the last 5 years, three in the playoffs, my question to you is, I'm on Bosa sometimes because I want him to be more disruptive. The highest-played defender in the game, right? But a lot of times I think the heart and soul of the defense is Fred Warner. When you look at this Niner defense from afar, who is the guy to you?
Fred Warner is a dude, man. He is something you have to worry about. You know, obviously in the run defense, he just seems like the heart and soul when I watch him. There are certain people that change the dynamic of the game, not just from just being disruptive, it's their attitude and their swag and what they bring. And Fred brings that toughness, that nastiness, but he's grabbing interceptions, you know. He's disruptive too. So, and he can be all over the place where you kind of know Bosa's going to be lined up on the left and whatever happens over there, you know, yeah, you want him to do stuff, but he's kind of limited. Where Fred is not. He's running from sideline to sideline, you know, quicker. So with the dudes, he's covering wide receivers sometimes. I mean, he's got running backs. Just look at him statistically. He's second among the linebackers in interceptions. You know, there's just so many things about him. So, anyway, I love the guy. And I hope he doesn't disrupt us too much.
Yeah, good chance of that happening, George. But yeah,
George. So if you haven't, you know, my partner here's a Cowboy fan, and boy, he's given me some unbelievable perspective on what it's like to be a Cowboy fan. He's so down on him that he said, "Oh man, you know, Cowboys are going to lose by 20 on Sunday," and so he's actually made a bet with me, and he's given me 19.5.
Yeah, George.
You play in front of a fan base with that kind of mentality.
I'm scarred, George.
I think it's come to just a head with the fan base. And I'm a fan, you know, of just, it's been too long, too many years, too many promises, too much stuff. Wow. You know, after last year, after the Green Bay loss, I think all of us were like, something got to go down. Something or up, you know, you got to remove a coach, you got to bring in a something, you got to do something. And we didn't do anything. We're the same team that we were last year on paper, right? There was, okay, well, I'm lying. We brought in Eric Kendricks and we signed Dalvin Cook late. Who's excited about that? It's not what you're excited about. So that does not give the juice to the fans to be like, oh man, this is the year. No. And then you go out there and you get trampled by Detroit. Good Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's not pretty. I don't think we're going to lose by 20 points just because you guys are struggling a little bit with injuries as well. But I can understand where he's at as far as saying, you know, I don't know how this is going to go. The only thing that's positive for me is that we're playing on the road. We're coming to y'all. We play better on the road. That's why I think we got a good chance to maybe disrupt it.
George, man, you've been awesome. We'll get you out of here on this one. So it's simple as this, right, to me. Jerry's like an uncle that I never met because he got us three early and he was spin free agency. But for you to do the dog and pony show with Dak, pay him at the end, you pay CD, so you can't rebuild. And the only thing I'm looking forward to, and I don't want anybody being unemployed, but Mike McCarthy will be fine. But, George, the bottom line is you need to coach to come in here like a Kyle Shanahan and change this thing around, because right now it's archaic. And I'm mad at Jerry because he's drafted well. They have talent, but it's chess, not checkers, man. So I'm down on Jerry flying the helicopters to practice, asking for the radio guys to get fired when it all starts and stops with you.
Jerry wanted a little bit of that West Coast life, too. He said, there's the superstars out there, Hollywood people. He's Hollywood, man. He's going to fly in on his plane, on his jet. He's probably going to roll out there with his big old bus and all kind of stuff, because that's who he is. And he's like, hey, man, my time is short, so I'm going to live this up. I'm going to keep making this money. Well, y'all going to keep buying these tickets. So we're complaining. Just come to the game and let's get it.
Hey, George, thank you so much for joining us, man. Great stuff. And enjoy the game on Sunday, man.
All right. Have a good day.
All right.
Oh, man. So now I think you meet me halfway. Your arms are almost out.
You can take a victory lap there.
It's bad, man. Maybe not by 19, but I really think it could go. Niners are not going to stink it up twice.
Hey, Evan.
Yeah.
They're just this. I'm looking at a box score. Cowboys scored 32 points last year against the Packers in that tough loss.
Evan, it was 27-7.
It was 27-7 at half.
Okay. Well, that's when you sent the text. It's not over. But you know what I
mean. That game was over.
Thank you.
Before it started.
That is the definition.
Did that offense light it up that day.
Hey, look what my mentor sent me, Dibs. We were having the conversation on the Audibles.
Oh.
I hadn't even seen this. This is awesome. Let me just read it to you all. So, let me find Dibs. Okay. This is from your guy, Steiny David Lombardi, on Twitter. Simplifying 49ers nuance as much as possible. 1, audible. 2, protection. 3, the answer. The mechanism that people incorrectly call the audible is actually built in into the play call. Purdy has multiple options at the line, but total freedom's ability than an actual audible is not. So I guess whatever he's doing.
Why don't you translate that?
Yeah, boy.
We'll wait till the crossover. Yeah. Dibs will have a better feel for that.
But I'm struggling because I thought it was going for me, and it's going against me.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
What is going against you?
For you. Yeah.
But Barry Church was talking for you, and we can play that on the other side. Just for Dibs.
Yeah, we'll do that. We will do
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Dibs.
No. I'll tell you what, two great cowboy guests, Barry Church and George Teague. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. No, I agree with that. I almost jumped in Zuki and said something.
With what? Zuki's
demand. Well, when you wrapped up the interview, you kind of never really did ask a question. You just kind of said, hey, George, I know you've lived it, but here's what I think. Jerry's going to do this, and Jerry with the plane and the helicopter.
Says you, Zuki,
no,
man.
No, you didn't.
I'm adding that on. I like how I ended it.
Can we listen to the best part of the interview?
Sure. How confident are you that they can turn it around?
No, I'm not.
That is wow.
Take your victory lap.
Yeah. Like you. I'm not Denzel. Not? I'm not in this job for the glory. I'm in this job for the takes and the passion. I'm not
even
right.
If they're bad.
I'll give you a two.
My guy Zuki said, "Where was the question?" We love
and that
Zuki.
Makes you happy and turn your red.
Not happy doesn't make me happy. It amuses me a hair.
I gave him my take on Jerry.
Yeah, you sure
and
did.
He gave us his.
You sure did. You know what though? Good for you, Goo, that you didn't end up asking a question there, because it would have gone down as the longest question in history.
Hey, I've been putting some clocks on a lot of people. You just don't get the clock on you because they're scared of you.
No, I don't have the clock on me because
I was at home listening to the station.
I must set things up. What, you got a problem with Reggie Jackson?
No, that
How
was...
How jealous it. Were you?
No,
that you were it. Sick that day.
Am I talking to Matt or Eric?
And then Evan's mom says, we almost named you Eric. That was incredible. But the best part about the Reggie is that, Evan, sometimes you ask the question and get out the way. And that's what you did to Reggie. He just,
you got to.
Man.
We did it with Switzer, too.
Yeah. Button's still working. I'm going to the garage. I see the Hegan and Tim Jordan. They go, how did the Switzer interview go? I said, the dumb button is broken.
That was listening on the way down, and it just felt like there was a lot of jumps in the middle of the interview when he was talking.
So
he's great.
Just
man.
a little inside baseball here, but if somebody were to utter a profanity on air, we've got the dump button.
Yeah.
So it won't happen.
Yeah.
Problem is when you hit the dump button, it locks up the phone lines for a minute or two, and then they clear, and then you can pick it up again. And after the Switzer interview, our main man, Carter Chickering, who's on the board, says, hey, don't go to any calls for about 10 minutes.
You get that, yeah.
Because Switzer had about six.
I wasn't sure, but I also think that there might have been a non-Switzer culprit in the profane department.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
That was between Carter and I.
I caught it.
I got it, boy. I was the man. Thought I was in Texas Roadhouse, Tony. Just letting you go. Oh, boy, I'm on air. Hey, hate this, but you like it.
No, I don't hate
it. Where are you watching Sunday night? And we got Warriors. I hate Sharon.
Who's Sharon?
Well, I'm going to the game, and then I'll watch the game again, and I'll watch the Warriors in its entirety. The Warriors and Niners. I like focus. Oh,
I actually thought he meant Sharon, a person. You meant sharing.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
No, the Niners
probably
play
at home.
Okay.
I like to be.
But how are you going to? You got two TVs up?
That's
or
a great question.
I probably won't go to bed about two.
No, oh, you'll be great.
That's normal.
Evan.
Please.
Get ready for Monday.
I didn't say I'm doing dope and going to bed at 2. I'm watching film.
Ready for Monday, Steiny.
Yeah.
Lock in.
Like, how are you going to watch both?
That's a great question.
It's not. 49 Frankie gets mad.
I don't
have multiple TVs.
Two screens.
Well, you got your phone.
Yeah.
Yes, your laptop.
Do. Not in the same room. Do I?
You have multiple screens.
Oh, my God. But what am I... What good do multiple screens do if one's in the bedroom and one's in the basement?
Well, if you're in the lab, what you have is a TV, a laptop, a phone, and maybe even a tablet.
I forgot about the laptop.
That's four. And if you want to get creative, I'm sure your TV has a picture-in-picture, so that could count. You can have Warriors and Niners simultaneously right next to each other.
I could keep going if you want, but I'm not.
All right. Well, I got to figure it all out.
No. I can't wait.
Warriors start. I think they start about the same time too, right? 5:25 for 49ers.
Clippers. People writing the Clippers off. They played a tough game.
They should.
They stink.
They're terrible. Goo.
Did they not lose at the end?
Doesn't matter.
Oh my God,
Guru.
Oh my God,
Guru.
I understand what you and Evan are saying,
Guru.
They still got five. I'm gonna stop.
Yeah, name them. Name five. Just name five.
This is
name
an insult.
Five.
This is
well, keep your mouth shut.
You're not Joe Shasky, and I know five Clippers. Come on, man.
Da, 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 da.
See, Zubac.
Give him the ding.
There's one.
Kawhi.
Ding.
Harden.
Well, gotta be
he should be a half a ding.
Dude, come on.
Harden. He could be two dings, so heavy.
The dude I shoot like?
Eric Gordon?
No. The other one. The one I like. Light-skinned cat.
Stormin?
Dude, this Norman? Hurts my credibility. I just gave you three. Do with that what you will. I'm a gambler.
They don't have Westbrook anymore.
I know he's on. I know all the rosters.
This reminds me. Did you see who he played for last night?
I didn't.
It's the greatest bid going.
They do with Shaq or Barkley?
Barkley.
He missed Garrett Temple's for the seventh straight season.
But it's incredible, man.
Garrett Temple, I would just say Washington.
He played hard. Oh.
I know he was with Sapp.
Oh, man.
One year.
He's been with everybody.
By the way, you want to talk about overreactions after a game or two.
Give it to
me. Feeling the Kings.
Now tell me, now that's a quick one.
I'm going to say it.
That's a quick one for you, though. Yeah,
you're right. It is a quick one for me, and I'll tell you why on the other side. But what's coming up next on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We got an audible problem. How confident are you that they can turn it around?
No, I'm not.